Hi, everybody, and welcome to Beat is to Beat is to Beat on awesomeville.us, the show where I beep more or less. Awesomeville, the happening place to be. We got stuff going on. Every Monday, we have Down with Pants. 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, unless I say otherwise, which I won't. Tuesday, we have this show you're listening to now. Wednesday, Reactor 4, which is a very good Unzi show, full of goodness and funny and zombies. Thursday, oh, I should mention that Beep is Beep is Beep is now. And Reactor 4 is 7 to 8. Then we'll get back to Thursday. I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you.
7 to 8.
Pacific Standard Time, even though they aren't Pacific Standard Time. Then Friday, there's a
vast gaping void.
So plan accordingly. Friday is kind of your night to go out and do stuff, because there's nothing going on here. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the a.m.
Mixed Blessings,
which is a really good show. It's got good music and comic books and banter and, like, beer at, like, 9 in the morning, which is awesome. That's every Saturday. Then Sunday hits, and it's like a tidal wave just smashing into you with the force of a tidal wave. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. respectable street. For the moment, she discusses time changes. She does. I hear it. So she might change that sometime. But for now, 11 to 1. Then you get a break until 6 p.m., the 7 p.m., where you get Sunday Tea with Skivington Ride. Which is also good. You should listen to that. You should listen to all the shows all the time, every week, constantly. You can go to awesomeville.us, and if you can't listen live, you can subscribe and listen to them at your leisure, at work, on a train, wherever you have a portable device of some kind. Then 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Sunday, snack and beverage, which I am legally obligated by the state of California to mention is pure awesome. So, you know, check it out. Hang out. Check us out. Email us. Email us whenever you want. Email me, beep@downwithpants.org. And I'll email you back if I get it. If not, like, server go boom stuff. Then I not email back because I don't know. Do I? No, I don't. It doesn't. Gelfling! So you should hang with us. You could be like one of the crew, except removed by time and space. Like, not trapped in time and space, which is kind of a Lovecraftian place to get a lot not quite done. So avoid that, if at all possible, because there's not really much to do there. It's kind of like Kansas, I guess. Not a lot to do there that I know of. I haven't actually been to Kansas. There could be, like, street festivals 3 times a week, but I don't know that. I just assume there's not a whole lot to be done. And no pirates. And why in God's name would you want to live somewhere with no pirates? Thank you. I've been suffering madly from an agoraphobic wanderlust. This itching need to get out and stay the hell at home. It's really kind of distressing, a little bit disturbing, a little bit difficult at times. It's hard to know what it is I'm trying to accomplish here. Like, where am I going? What am I doing? Why don't I have these two objects I can stick together to make a third object? I have so many things that'll stick together, but none of them are that thing. I need some thing to make sense of it all that will stick together, and then it'll all just fall into place like a tsunami of relevance bash onto the head, like a Star Trek episode in Esperanto. But all that aside, I was gone for a bit there. I was the non-agoraphobic part. I was in Illinois. It's a little bit difficult to be agoraphobic in Illinois on account of it's outside of my house. It's very, very outside of my house. There was some cool stuff. I found some cool, neat things there, and there are some awesome folks afire who really ought to be handed baskets. Because getting a basket is cool. Even if it's empty, it's like a basket. But if it's full, you just got handed a basket of stuff. And how cool is that? I think, in my humble opinion, that's really damned cool. Like, I miss the basket thing, like the Easter basket. Like, mine always had Micronauts in it and stuff, which was particularly cool. Like, I wasn't really into eggs at the time. That sort of came later, although I loved soft-boiled eggs mixed together with bits of toast in a cup. It was a dish that I used to get when I was sick, and I really liked that. That was awesome. But it didn't have, you know, Micronauts in it. basically what it is that I need to figure out the whole astral projection thing. I need to figure out how to go widely unto this earth without actually having to, you know, leave this sofa. Not that I'm on a sofa, but I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, that's a mighty fine sofa. That's a pretty shiny sofa. If I could be so bold as to say... It was the cheapest sofa, actually, available when we went looking for one. But it was also the most comfortable. Like, we could have spent twice as much and still been within budget and pretty happy. But the ones that were twice as much kind of sucked. So we got the cheap one. And it's looking a little worse for wear now on account of there are cats running around the labs. And you know how that goes. But it's still comfy. It's still a good sofa. I can still flop down on it if need be. Not right now. On account of all the cords and the fact that I have like three backpacks sitting on it and a pile of laundry that I have to do at some point pretty badly. It's all kind of gotten piled up and backed up because I didn't do a whole lot of laundry leading up to vacation thing to Illinois. And then getting back, I've been so damned busy that I haven't really gotten it done then either. And it's getting to the point where I'm having to, you know, look over at my shirts and think, huh, have I only worn that once? That should go on the good pile. And that's really a time I ought to wash them, is basically where that line of reasoning unerringly points, is to the suds and the shunk 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 shunk. That's the sound it should make. It doesn't really go shunk shunk, but it really ought to. If there were any justice in the world, justice for you and me and tubes and ants. There's no justice for ants. There's only a swift and merciless end, one by one, until all are eradicated. I don't really believe that, because they do a lot of very useful things. I personally am not that anti-ant, but I live with someone who is, and I'm around a lot of people who are, and they don't gross me, they don't ick me, they don't ew me like so many bugs do. They just go in their lines, and if you get in their way, they bite you. And that seems fair, I think. I mean, considering how much we kill whenever we step on them, a little bite seems okay. Of course, we don't have the really big Indiana Jones ants around here. We have little tiny ones, so the bite is more like, hey, did you bite me? Seriously? Did you look at the size difference? Did you do the math? I mean, I assume that ants can do math. Like, on some level. Can't they? Was so much easier being a Renaissance man when nobody had the slightest idea what they were doing. And what I mean by that was back in the olden days when it was pretty impressive that you'd learn to read and write and to do like intermediate maths. The fact that you could read and write and do intermediate maths and some chemistry and paint, that made you pretty damn spiffy. These days, it kind of makes you like an above average art major on account of most art majors don't do the maths. I wasn't even an art major and I don't do the maths. I avoid them. I try to make other people do them for me, either in the form of software they have written, or I just go find people who are good at them and just, you know, hand them a sheet of paper and say, work it out. And because they're good at maths, they can't resist. They have to work it out. It's like having an entire class of indentured servants for maths. And I just never really quite got the knack of it. I understand the underlying logic of the basic maths, that if you take two of something, that's kind of like having two of something. And I'm okay with that, and but you know, can move forward with that. But you get much further where you get into maybe that's not really two. That two might actually be something else entirely. And that's when I start getting kind of messed up, because now suddenly I have to figure out what having two of something means. Like, is one of them really one of them, or is it like actually a grouping of them? And in that grouping, can some of the sub groupings maybe even be two all by themselves? And if you have all the twos ever, that's still not all the twos that could be. So I don't really know how that works. It's a little bit off-putting. So I just have to go and run with it and let other people take care of that. You know how it is. You know how it goes. You know where I've been. Or do you? No, you probably do, actually. If you've been paying attention, you have a pretty clear map of where I've been. Because my life is an
open book.
I mean, it's a like a big book without very many illustrations, and it's in Swahili, but it is open. So count yourself among the few who can stand before this book and say, ah, I understand, I get it, I know why I am here, because so few ever do. They never figured out. They will never know why they're standing in front of this open book. But you do. And that's something pretty special. That's something you can hold on to and treasure and tell your children's children about it, assuming that you have any, which it seems like the odds these days are pretty good. I can count on one hand up to five. With two hands, I'm still counting up to five because I'm pointing with one hand. Got it? Good. Why is it so hard to get bubbles, like plastic bubbles, like plastic spheres? You know, like a good 2 foot, 2.5 foot wide plastic sphere, clear or not, I'm not picky. They're hard to get and very expensive when you do, unless you just sort of luck into some, which is becoming rarer and rarer because of the, it was only the one time that I did. So statistically speaking, that's not a lot compared to all the times I didn't. And that's statistics speaking, so you can't really argue very well with that without coming across as, you know, kind of a little bit of an asshole. So don't even do that. Just run with it, and at least you'll be remembered as a good guy, even if you're not remembered as being the guy who's right. Because why does everyone need to be right? I mean, only one half of any given argument can be, so shouldn't it be just as good to be wrong? You're enabling the guy who's right. You should be proud of that. You should stand up tall and say, I'm wrong. If I wasn't wrong, you, sir, wouldn't be where you are today. I... I'm thirsty. Are you guys thirsty? I had like a Mexican Coca-Cola, which is not any sort of racial epithet or anything. It's just that when they're bottled in Mexico, they use actual sugar. So I like to get those. And that was my very last sip right there. So I also am pretty thirsty. The only things really within reach of me are a cat and a bottle of Chinese rice wine, which is actually not really in reach. It's a little out of reach. I could get up and run over, but then you'd have to just sort of listen to this for a while. And I'm not going to do that to you right now. I'm going to hold off on that and just sort of let nature run its course. I've come to a point, I think, just in the day that is my life, that I need to learn some things here and there. One of which is how to sort of step back and disassociate myself from an object and not have everything that object has ever meant to be connected to the core of me in such an incredibly tight way. I read a short story once about a guy who somehow got a hold of John Lennon's glasses, and they allowed him to see the cords that connected all people and all things, and he was able to manipulate those cords. So he saw that he had strong, you know, cords going off to objects, and he just sort of snapped those cords, and suddenly he didn't care about that object. And he started seeing other people's cords to each other and to strange things, and was able to rearrange them so that their priorities were a little more straight. He ended up trying to do so to some world leader and got gunned down. And I think that's where it ended, probably. There's not a lot to say after that, I guess. I mean, you could write a sequel about another guy who got the glasses, but probably what's been said has been said. There's not a whole lot to be added. You just have to go and leave that story alone and say, I've done that. And I need to do that with some stories and with some things. And I think I've touched on this before, and I've been doing much better. I've been getting rid of things willy-nilly. I'm actually writing up a Craigslist article, posting missive at the moment to get rid of some more stuff. So if you're listening, you want some stuff, beat@downwithpants.org. I'll give you some stuff.
We are here to rock the spot. 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 We are here to rock the sp
I've noticed that I live with an alarming number of small creatures. I know a lot of people I know do as well, and it's really quite weird. There's one lying on my backpack right now, just looking at me. And if it were Wolverine, I'd be very alarmed right now. I'd probably be edging my way towards the door, which, considering I'm not wearing any pants, would be a tenuous position to be in. There's another one over on the other side of the room. It's not looking at me at all, so I don't know what it's planning. It could be doing just about anything, and I wouldn't be able to stop it. I wouldn't even be able to slow it down. Actually, it's a lot smaller than me. I could probably slow it down or stop it for a lot of things it could do. But if what it was going to do involved a giant robot, I'd probably be pretty stuck. I don't think I could take on a giant robot, even if it was piloted by a small furry creature. Possibly, especially, because that means it's got more internal room for systems on account of the small furry creature. It doesn't take up the amount of space that a human would. And internal space is valuable when you're dealing with something on two legs, because you can't make it too big or it'll tend to overbalance. Of course, you can't make it too dense either, or else you need really wide feet to keep it from cracking through whatever surface it was standing on. because that's a lot of pressure in a small area. You can make tanks really heavy because they have a lot of surface area that they're standing on. And even then, they'll crack through a lot of surfaces. You wouldn't want to put one on top of a Motel 6. And likewise, a giant bipedal robot, you would not want to put on top of a Motel 6. It would just go right through into the basement. Like a knife through hot butter. Assuming that it was a very large Motel 6-shaped butter and a robot-shaped knife. And crumbled, rather than squishing. So, that doesn't really hold up. And I'm sorry for that, because I was hoping that that would really just fit a little bit more. So this has been Beep is to Beep is to Beep. I mean, it's going to be for a little bit longer. I've got like a minute something that I'm going to talk to you, and then I'm going to go into like 4 something, or maybe even 5 minutes after that, of a final bit of music for you to digest and love like it was your child. But then I'll be gone for a week. Listen to the other shows. Go to awesomeville.us. Check out the awesome site we have. And email me, beep@downwithpants.org. Org. .arg would be totally awesome, though. I'm going to have to see if I can convince the entire web to adopt that. I think I might have that kind of leverage with the world. You think? I'm not really sure. So I'm going to leave you with this one final thought. And that is, if it looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and the universe is infinite, would you like a piece of pie? Dwell on that. Think about it. Obsess over it. And email me at beep@downwithpants.org. Beep is to beep is to beep.